Welcome back to Melanin Speaking. It's your girl, Renisha.
It's your girl, Chelsea. What up?
Hi, it's Natalia.
And it's Jordan.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Episode 4 here, ready for you to listen. Hope you're ready. How was everybody's week?
It's been great.
Cold.
Yeah, right? Cold.
Welcome to Tennessee. Cold.
And it didn't even snow. That's the worst kind of cold.
Not yet. Tennessee is kind of one of those places where it'll snow in like March or something. So
honestly, yeah.
It's just been a lot of ice.
Yeah.
I kind of loved it because when I went to start my car and then I was like rolling down my window. Yes, by rolling down, I mean actively rolling down because I don't have automatic windows. Anyway. and there's just like that clear sheet of glass after your window moves down. I love
it. Glad you appreciate it.
I love it.
What time was that in? Not in the morning?
No, that was on the way to the gym yesterday.
Yeah.
See, that's in the
PM. Because it's not fun at like 6 a.m. before you got to go to work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Or at 3 a.m. when you're trying to get to work.
Yeah. Wow.
First and foremost, happy day after Valentine's. I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day.
Galentine's.
Well, Galentine's, which I didn't know anything about until recently. So, yikes. Wow. I know.
I expect my present.
Thanks. It's a day after Valentine's. If you haven't gotten it, I don't think you're going to get it. also, happy Black History Month. We can't forget about that.
We're still
Absolutely.
In it.
Yes. Of course. And of course, just like last episode, we are going to spotlight two individuals. This time, Jordan and I are going to speak on who we want to talk about. And Jordan, if you want to go first, you can.
Yeah. So I chose a lesser known person named Ella Baker. If you do know, shout out to you. But she was considered the mother of the civil rights movement. And the reason why they use that metaphor is because a mother is someone who gives birth to a person or something, and nurtures it and gives and imparts wisdom. And that's what she did for SNCC, which was the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was vital part in desegregating in the South. They organized so many protests, sit-ins, where those videos you see a whole bunch of white people spitting on Black people and counters and places to eat. And that was SNCC. It was college students with no real leader. Like the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which Martin Luther King was known to be a part of. It was just a collective of Black Christian leaders in their community organizing marches and things of that nature. But SNCC was different, and they wanted it to be a part of the NAACP and all those different things. But Ella Baker was like, no, we have something very special, and we don't need a head. We don't need the hierarchy in our organization. What we're gonna do, and this was her most famous quote, which was, strong people don't need strong leaders. And it makes me reminisce about Black Lives Matter. It brings it back to us, how we don't have like a Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X ahead of our organization. It's strong people being their own leaders and going into their communities just like Ella Baker would have wanted. And she didn't want any recognition, but I'm out here right now giving her the recognition that she needed. But yeah, she was super inspiring, and it makes me really excited because she is gave birth and inspired so many people that are still affecting their communities and doing a lot of outreach programs still to this day because of her motivation. And if we have people like that in every single community, it can go on for years and decades and things of that nature. So yeah, that's why I chose Ella Baker.
Pretty awesome.
That's goals.
Yeah, they did the counter sit-ins, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
SNCC was very big for that.
Pretty awesome. Those are pictures. I feel like those are the pictures you see in your history books more often than not.
Yeah.
With the dogs and the fire hoses and all that horribleness. But.
And they were young.
Yeah, yeah.
Like young people.
Yeah, they're college students.
Yeah.
What made you pick her?
Because she didn't really want the recognition. I feel like, that's going against what she wanted, but.
What made you think of her, like, oh, I know this person, or how did you come across Ella Baker? YouTube
videos. People that were like like on YouTube, and they were saying the people that really needed the recognition but didn't get it in their time.
She was a cool black lady, okay, who did amazing things.
Okay, now we're going to spotlight my person, which I thought was pretty accurate at the times that we are going through right now. This person has something to do with the vaccine, which I encourage every person, especially my people of color, to get this vaccine. I've been practicing her name all day. It is kind of hard, but hopefully if she ever hears our podcast, I do her justice. It is Dr. Kazmikia Corbett. Ooh, cheers in the background. Claps all around. She is one of the leading scientists for the corona vaccine, especially the Moderna sign. Okay. I thought that was pretty cool because I saw a black woman out there fighting to work this deadly vaccine that we've been going through. And I was just like, okay, this is another example for young individual girls, even girls my age, to see an older person doing something that you really don't see on TV. I thought, wow, there's nothing we can't do out there. Mm-hmm. You know, so she didn't really lead it, but she was part of the lead. She is a viral immunologist by training. She's gone through University of Maryland.
Hey,
I thought that would get you. She also went to University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, which I thought, okay, another North Carolina. I got family over there, okay? I get excited. Just kidding. Also, she also, when she's not being a hero to many others, she helps out in her community, and she's an avid advocate of a STEM education and vaccine awareness in her community, which I thought was pretty cool. So she's doing work inside and outside all around. I was just like, this is a well-rounded woman. Like, she is absolutely phenomenal and beautiful in person. I don't know if you guys have seen what she looks like, but, you know, the definition of black don't crack. I mean, my God. she's 34 last time I looked up. But again, I was just
she's 34 and just
wow. Exactly. That's awesome. Because usually when you are like some sort of big doctor, you're an old timer. An old timer. This woman is 34 and is breaking barriers out there. You know what I'm saying? So I had to put her on our podcast and just recognize her amazing work, which thank you. I did get the Moderna vaccine, so I'm kind of like, you know, I got you, girl. You know, which again, please get this vaccine.
I love that. I love that there's a push for women in STEM, because I think that is just such, like, throughout like high school and stuff, I don't think I knew any women that wanted to be in the STEM
in that kind of situation.
Just because they never thought that they could. They thought it was like a male dominated thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to see that there's like, especially like minority women. Like, come on now. Like,
it's phenomenal to see.
Amazing.
Well, I have an aunt who actually is in STEM. Shout out Auntie Joy. She talks about how imperative it is to get more women. And because she is a woman of color, of course, specifically women of color, into these STEM fields, because not only do they pay you get paid, but it's also, it brings a new perspective. Because when you're monolith, not saying that you all come from the same backgrounds, because none of us do, we're all individuals, but there is a certain perspective being raised in an American society that... is kind of a collective experience of like different races, different genders. You go through very similar experiences, even though they might be different, but they're still similar. And so bringing that perspective with you helps a lot of times in STEM, especially when you're talking about like science research and things like that. That's exactly what I was saying.
If you have like a group test that you need to do, you get people of different races, of different backgrounds. So why not the researchers be the same?
Absolutely. So, love to see it. Thank you so much for getting this vaccine out. I know it had to be stressful.
Oh yeah, because it was a time crunch.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get a lot of lives on the line.
Yeah. So, you know, we appreciate all of our doctors. No matter what field of medicine you're in, we appreciate you. And shout out to the woman making us healthier. Yeah, one shot at a time.
Yes.
And giving us peace of mind, man.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Let's go ahead and jump into our episode today. Triggered when I see your face. Triggered when I hear your name. Let me stop. No. You know.
Triggered.
Triggered. Okay, come on, Janae Aiko.
I've never heard that song until today.
Shut up, for real?
Yeah.
Excuse us. Let's pause this podcast. Just
kidding. Yeah. You need to pause. That entire album will bless you. Bless up. Bless up.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing I just wanted to, like, just discuss with you guys is just triggers. Like, I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of things, especially from 2020, 2021, maybe even past, that's just been, like, making me like, oh, triggering. It's been triggering your girl, and I'm just like, okay, we need to talk about it. Well, how are y'all feeling about it? Especially, like, you got your politics going on, like, you got in social justice that's happening, you got things that are just happening in your home that you're like, I think I saw a meme where, like, someone said that we're in our 14th month of 2020.
I agree.
2020 has not left. We're,
no.
2021. Like, WON. We still in it.
Yes.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I do appreciate that. You know, we are seeing some small barriers. I can't say that, you know, 2021 isn't showing improvement in 2020. However, I feel like... However, I feel like we're still like, my God, it's the longest Monday I've ever experienced in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's been a year and some change. What is this Monday?
Because it's the same stressors. It's the same themes. It's the same thing we were dealing with in 2020.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think I'm still, I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but they were like, yeah, I can't wait for so-and-so kind of month. I said, please don't rush it.
Right.
Don't rush it.
I'm just trying to get past tomorrow.
Hello.
We'll talk about months down the road when the months down the road are here.
Yeah, seriously.
I think that's what 2020 made me feel like. It was like plans.
What are
plans? Figure out tomorrow, okay? How about that?
Honestly. Yeah. And like all these celebrities are having a little bit of problems. I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, you got...
We just have the... With all these celebrities having problems, they've been having problems. We just... The collective population, we just got the time today.
Mm-hmm. For me...
We got the time this year and last year. We have the time to drag y'all through these streets.
I mean, you're not wrong. For me, it's just like... And this might come off a little wrong, but like, for my people of color celebrities, I need y'all to... get it together, because we're already having a hard time. Like,
yo,
don't be out here in the streets with a bad name. Can you do something for the community? Can we? I'm just talking about like the TI and Tiny situation. Like,
and what bothers me so much, not even, I mean, obviously what they're allegedly doing is like trash, don't get me wrong, but also like, TI, you got your little black behind and all types of people, politics, and all the mayor has supported you. Like,
exactly.
If you go out here looking bad, it make the whole set look bad. Like,
it just, it's like it never really happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was out here saying all this stuff, you know, supporting women when Megan the
Wakanda.
Oh my God. Like, when Megan Thee Stallion got shot, you know, he was one of those people who stood up for her. You know, he was also those person who was out there in the politics, like you said, and just like, be better, you know, Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 which you should, like, you're a black man. But then now I'm hearing in the news that you and your wife are over here sexually assaulting young girls. Yeah. And just keep
drugging them.
What is happening?
Have to take drugs before you enter my home.
Pardon?
What? I mean, what Pardon? Type of shit is that?
It's insane. I'm like, can we not?
And then the one person that came out said that he held a gun to her and all of that. So,
Tia and Tiny allegedly.
Yeah, because they said that they
did some pretty trash things.
And it's not even just Tia and Tiny. You got individuals who I love their music, Chloe and Haley, you got individuals of your own race mm-hmm. body shaming you, which I'm like, why is that even still a thing, y'all? It's leave the girl alone. Everyone, this, okay, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, it I is don't. The Chloe Bailey.
Oh.
Okay. She did the Bus It challenge like everybody else.
Yeah. Everybody else.
If you have a TikTok or just social media, you did the Bus It challenge, which, mm-hmm. you know, I was going to do, but they didn't have no time. But, you know. Anyway, she did it, right?
No and time then, like the present.
Mm-hmm. You know, right? Just put anyway. A late post. She did it. And then she got all these negative comments about how she wasn't supposed to be showing this. You know, mm-hmm. she looks like this.
She's grown up blah. Too fast. Mm-hmm. She's being, you
Can
know.
Y'all mind the business that pays you, please?
Hello. Hello.
Because I didn't remember asking you.
I was reading through that poor girl's comments, and it sounded like church to me. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. Like, it sounded like, oh, well, you know what? Well, she is fast out there. That's why, you know, she got so much showing, you know, her legs showing, her belly out. That's why, you know, that's why you're going to be sexually objectified if you don't cover up now, girl. Like, that's what I heard when I was reading the comments. And I was like, if y'all don't sit y'all selves down somewhere. Like,
and that triggered me because I'm just like, are y'all serious? That's what you're worried about right now. This is what you're worried about.
Is attacking
her, showing her belly, like all you other women who's been shaking your butts. You know, gotta tone it down because I really want to say what I. That's really what you're worried about.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things too, though. It's like because she was a Disney girl, right? Or she is gonna become
No, that's her sister. That's Haley. Excuse me. Haley is going to be the Little
so
Mermaid.
So what was the whole, how did she get famous? How did Chloe get famous?
They're singers.
YouTubers. They're singers and they're Beyonce kind of
discovered them.
See, I don't know anything about them. So yes, come please educate
now. Me. I thought people discovered them on YouTube. Weren't
so
they making
that's where they made videos originally. They were making videos on YouTube and then they did a cover of, if I'm not mistaken, Pretty Hurts.
That's one of the first times I saw
her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, she gave them girls a record
real
deal.
Quick.
So, was it like cheesecakey? Was it kind of like Allie and AJ where they were like for younger girls or anything?
Not
or?
At all. I think that they, like, their first album came out, one of them's 22. Okay. Chloe's 22. But when their first album, The Kids Are All Right. Mm-hmm. It was a great album.
Oh, I love that song.
But it wasn't like cookie cutter. Now they did water it down some mm-hmm. because they were.
I'm not talking about the lyrics. I'm talking about the look, the aesthetic. Because I think if people are shocked that they're showing skin,
but you got
were they not doing it before?
They weren't showing a lot. I think they just weren't so overtly sexual, maybe. Mm. But like the outfits were still.
But you also got to think about it. All of these kids, though, even if they were Disney Channel mm-hmm. kids that we grew up with. Look at all the people we've watched.
I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not defending these people. What I'm saying is we have to realize that as these people get older, mm-hmm. they're going to have that moment where they break out and it's like, oh, she's a woman. And I think that's what we're seeing because we and I think that's what it is. I'm not trying to defend them saying they should be doing
that's
that.
That's one of the reasons why her and her sister got separate accounts. They got separate Instagrams because Haley is still in that kind of childish moment. Mm-hmm. She is she's under a Disney contract currently. Mm-hmm. She's redoing the Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. So they broke off and they got two separate accounts. And mm-hmm. Chloe decided to do something a little bit more adult with her account because she's a grown ass woman. Mm-hmm. And
it
triggered people and people got very upset. And it's like, she's 22. How long did y'all expect this girl to keep this, like, oh, very innocent. I don't know anything about anything. Oh, my God. I have a big butt. I've never seen it before. Like.
Well, that's the thing. Why do we, that's my thing. It's like, why do we have that section of, like, why is it so hard to break through? Like, why do we bring in these young ladies and expect them to be innocent? And then as soon as they break it, because obviously they're going to get older. Right. That we're, like, shocked. Like, why is that as a society that we constantly do that?
I think the first thought to answer that question and kind of selfishly is, like, they're just being selfish. Like, they're looking at someone else's life and thinking, damn, they want to be that kind of way. Or they can't get to that level, so they have mm-hmm. to bring that person down. You know what I'm saying? It's just their self insecurities themselves. Yeah. It, that's how I would answer that question. Their insecurities. You know what I'm saying? It's just always.
I look at it a little differently. I look at it as the Madonna whore complex, right? So like, you know, theologians have said forever, like a woman can basically fall into two categories, which is you could be the whore, which is there for basically consumption. Mm-hmm. You're used up, but you're there for, you know, male gaze, male pleasure, things of that nature. Or you can be the Madonna, or like the woman that you marry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's the put together with the kitten heels and the perfect laced pearls mm-hmm. and, you know, white glove dainty type deal. And mm-hmm. that's the woman who you marry. That's not the woman you lust after. The woman you lust after is, you know, the whore, quote unquote. And I think that people put a lot of female entertainers into this box, right? So mm-hmm. are you going to be the precious Madonna like your Lana Del Rey's, where she's, you know, perpetual victimhood type, mm-hmm. woe is me, I'm so dainty and soft and fragile? Or do they put you in the whore category, which would be like your Cardi B's, your Nicki Minaj's, things mm-hmm. like that. So it's that complex. And I think mm-hmm. like, you know, it especially happens to Black women, but it happens to women in general. Ariana Grande went through that mm-hmm. where she was seen as Madonna for a while because she was young and she was innocent and she was a Nickelodeon kid. Mm-hmm. And then even slowly, and she's still like processing that adult content. Mm-hmm. Like her latest album, I think, was the most adultified album mm-hmm. that I've listened to. And I love Ariana Grande. I've listened mm-hmm. to all her albums, even the ones when she was still like that Nickelodeon kid. And I think that we do that to women where it's like, so are you going to be the good girl or are you going to be the slut? Like, which one are you going to be? Pick one. And we don't allow women to find that balance of like, yeah, I might be a whore sometimes. Mm-hmm. I might be the most pristine, dainty, fragile sometimes. Mm-hmm. But we don't allow that duality. We always expect them to pick either or. And we've been doing it for...
ever.
A millennia at least. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So anyway, about that triggered. So we get triggered about that. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Obviously,
2021, we're still getting triggered women's sexuality.
Right. Yeah. Insecurities, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
It really is. But even with that, it makes me think, what do we do for our positive triggers? Like, is there positive triggers? I personally think when I think of a positive trigger, I'm like, food? I don't, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then
food
again,
is an amazing trigger.
Well, it could be a good trigger the way you think about it, or it could be a bad trigger, especially if you're on a fitness program. Now, I will say, a trigger word for me and a fitness word is diet, because I'm going to
die.
No,
diet.
Okay,
diet.
Die. I said,
diet.
I mean, I do feel
that's
like
a trigger
I'm
word.
Right.
Die.
At this point. But no, if I'm at any point say that I'm going to go on a diet, just know I'm going to break
She's
it.
She's in danger.
No, but for real. Because I hate thinking, I even hate saying to people like, oh yeah, I'm on a diet. No, I'm not.
That's why I just say, I'm watching what I'm eating right now. Like, exactly, I never say the word, but exactly. I say everything the word means.
You know, I'll be like, oh, I'm eating healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like,
I know
if you,
a lot of people, they try to make it like, I'm not on a diet. It's a lifestyle change.
Ooh.
No,
that's
the one that
okay.
makes me. You say it like that makes me like punching your throat. But
it's a lifestyle change.
No, yeah, but like, because I don't. Okay, there is no difference, but there is a difference.
Yeah.
It's the mentality of it.
Yeah,
you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Like when on this fitness program that I'm currently on, it's more of like teaching me how to be better at my eating habits. Mm-hmm. Whereas a diet, I have to immediately cut something off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and I don't know about y'all, but that's hard. You know, that's like, you can't just cut something off, mm-hmm. cold blood it.
No, you have to and like then not yourself off.
Exactly. Because it's like, okay, it's like if I was on a diet and nobody else in my family is on a diet. Mm. And let me tell you, I live with an 80-year-old woman who, you know, just living her best life.
She don't eat what she want
to
eat.
She's going to eat what she want to eat, and she's going to bring in the house what she wants to bring. You know what I'm saying? So I come home, see a red velvet chocolate cake on the table.
Oh, that's disrespectful is what that is.
And sometimes it's not even that big. It's her bringing some juice, you know, cranberry juice, orange juice, you know, the simple stuff. I love juice. I'm a child. Okay.
I'm a child.
And sometimes, as I am who is a broke person, I have to eat what I have at the house at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so when you tell me in my diet, hey, cut out sugars, hey, cut out laughing because that was the first week of my program. Right. but no, cut out sugars, cut out bread, cut out things that are not healthy for you. And that's all you have in the kitchen. True.
You have to figure something out.
I'm triggered. Because here's what I'm going to have eggs. And y'all, I've been eating nothing but eggs. Yeah. No, but I have to go upstairs. And for me not to eat that cake, I have to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And that's not possible when you have so many things to do.
Right.
True.
I got to say, though, like all these things, yes, I agree. Triggers, I hate it. But at the same time, I'm just like, damn, I didn't eat that chocolate cake. Okay, I think it's that little bit of like determination that you get afterwards, and I think for me it's learning how to, I guess, welcome that rather than be like, fuck, okay, I should just eat that fucking chocolate cake. You only live once.
No, yeah, I was proud of myself.
Right.
You do, and that's where that comes with, like, it sometimes could be a positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where for sure. Like, okay, you got this. I feel like you don't have to wean yourself off for a whole however long your diet is. If you can do it for a day, because, you know, you start out small first. Please start out small. Don't go. But if you start out small and then your goal can be, all right, let's add on some time to it. It gets better over and over. And then you're like, I don't need this anymore.
Right.
Which makes you feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. You start to look good. You can actually get up in the morning. Yeah. You'd be surprised.
The amount it affects your body. And then you also realize, like, damn, what is all this? What
was I thinking? Like, exactly.
My biggest thing, like, that I've noticed is when I moved back to the States, I was just like, oh, my God, I'm getting weight quickly and I'm eating so the same food. What is in this food? Like, hold on. Let me double check.
Yes.
And
you don't want to know what's in American's food.
You know what? I don't. And it's one of those things that I think, like, you just have to do it. Like, you just have to do it once. Like,
it's the mentality.
Yes. I like it, though. I've learned to like being on a diet because it gives me, like, it teaches me a couple things. Like, oh, okay, well, now I know how to cook more things.
Yes.
I know that I don't have to eat out all the time. Yes. I know that I don't, even if I got this craving for ice cream, I don't have to have ice cream. I can have a substitute ice cream.
Or you can have a different kind of ice cream.
Right.
Right.
Didn't know that was out there.
Which is substituting what? Less sugar?
Sugar.
Yeah.
Not just sugar. You also got to think about, like, milk is fattening.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And sugar. It has sugar in it. So, like, there's milk out there that has the milk substitutes in it. Mm-hmm. And then that's all I have. Because that's all I looked up, you know, this is sugar and the milk portion. But, no, again, for me personally, the word trigger is diet.
Well,
I am healthy eating, and I'm living my best life, is what I'm going to say to you.
Hell yes.
I'm glad.
It's what I'm going to say to you instead of, I'm on a diet. Because I'm not. I just ate the cheese and crackers at like 11 o'clock at night.
So it's bread for me.
Hello. I need bread. I need bread and lactose, and I don't know if I can fully survive without bread and lactose.
You don't know until you try.
Very true. It's going to be hard, though.
It's going to be hard.
And
I think it's better if you do it with someone. Mm-hmm. Of course. But I feel you because I've also said the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, because on the list, it was something about, like, I can't have any dressing or certain kind of oils to cook with, right? Really, the only kind of oil that I could think of was avocado oil, but whatever. I didn't think I could do it.
Well, I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of myself. Because I was like, how long did this?
I texted you that week. How you doing? Are we okay?
I don't know what the... I was... Y'all, I was standing in Publix, right? Because I... I only had about a 30-minute increment, whatever, between I had to go to see my next job or my next client. And I'm standing in Publix at this one aisle, like, okay, looking at this. Okay, can't have that. Can't have that. Can't have that. I'm pretty sure I walked around in a circle in Publix.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out. And I'm pretty sure the lady at the deli was just like, you good? She
something you
need? And I even asked her, y'all, this is the funny. I asked her, I said, do you guys have lettuce wrap sandwiches? She was like, what? And I said,
ma'am, this is not a Jimmy John's.
We serve.
I felt so bad. And I had to like scoot closer. I said, a lettuce wrap. She's like, what's that? I said, well,
lettuce. Isn't the name.
I kind of felt stupid. I said, wait, this is not a thing. Like, it's Jimmy. So I like described it to her. She was like, and she gave me a look that made me like, you know what? It's okay.
I'm not gonna lie, right? I was that person. I was like, ew, why the fuck are you gonna come to me with some like keto bullshit and acting like don't eat out? Like go figure your shit out. And then now that I'm like on it or I've been on it where I can't have certain things, I'm like, damn, I really need to be more sensitive about these people.
Yes.
It really is a struggle.
It is.
If you don't pack or anything. And then, yeah, no. I ended up just eating, like, meat.
You did.
I'm like, sliced meat.
She opened some up cheese. A plastic and was like.
I know. I saw the girl. Okay. She pulled out, like, a steak. And she was like, I'm hungry. And started eating the steak. No and bread. I was like, Natalia, no, nothing else. You want to, like, some sauce for that steak? Anything? She's like, nah, it's steak.
Oh my god!
So I'm triggered, but people judge me because I'm trying to eat better.
I mean, yeah, I would be too being judged like that.
I mean, I'm sure you get it because you're a vegetarian.
Vegan.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
I'm done with that.
What?
I was tired of being triggered by people being like, "Aren't you supposed to be vegan?" And I'm like, "Look, I need to eat food, okay? And I can't cook right now."
I don't think
shade, no tea. I am that person who did that to Jordan. I was like, ma'am, that is cheese and pepperoni. What are you doing?
But the unhealthy part of that was, like, I stopped eating.
Right, right.
Because I'm so busy, and, I mean, I truly don't know how to cook for myself. I'm young, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just caught myself not eating, and it was like, you know, if I'm going to eat meat, I'm going to fucking eat meat. It's right. Better to eat
something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Especially with being a vegan, like, I know you have to, like, take a lot of supplements, like, just to make sure. Okay, because you have to, like, make sure, like iron, you know? There are a lot of vegetables that do have a lot of iron in it, but most people get their iron from meats. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And unless you're eating, you know, a ridiculous amount of spinach or broccoli or something like that. Like, your iron levels go down, and you're cold all the time, and your circulation don't flow right. Mm-hmm. Today's sponsor is Blue Herbal Goddess. Shout out to Miss Nicole for being our very first sponsor. We appreciate her immensely. For all of your crystal, chakra, and tarot card reading needs, she also does Reiki healing as well. 1573 Fort Campbell Boulevard. Go and check out Miss Nicole's store. It is absolutely amazing. I got my chakras read, and apparently I got some work to do on myself, y'all. But she is absolutely amazing. So go over there and visit Miss Nicole. Once again, it is 1573 Fort Campbell Boulevard. Blue Upper Goddess, thank you so much.
I'm going to bring it back a little bit because... Please. One of my biggest triggers, well, I get triggered just about everything, but one of the ones that automatically sets me off into a rant is politics.
Oh my God, same sis.
So there's what? Like, yes. Mm-mm. So there's two things, and I'm going to go, well, there's three.
well, there's four. Right. Actually, we're not going to put a number to it.
Right. So I'm going to hit this because it just happened and I see it all over the news and nobody's talking about it. We're about to fucking... Okay, anyway. Fucking Tom Brady. Let me tell you about this motherfucker. How is it that we can all of a sudden separate somebody's politics from their gameplay because they are supposedly the GOAT, whatever. I get it. You do good, whatever.
Because you get those Super Bowl rings, is that's all they care about.
Makes that and, money, baby.
And, like, for me, I'm like, is that what we're at? Like, if you're white and that's it's okay that we can close our eyes about you, whatever. And then I know he's going to pull that card. Well, I'm married to Hispanic. This don't mean nothing. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Triggered. But I think one of the things that super triggered me was that after the Super Bowl, he's out here partying, drunk, throwing no shit mask. On the boat, whatever. Yep. No mask.
No.
And I'm just thinking, like, dude, like, in what world do you think that us poor people that have to deal with this shit and literally all these servants that have to be around your stupid ass and serve you wearing our mask get to, like, enjoy seeing you and all your fucking dumbass buddies wearing no mask? And parting it up. Like, to me, triggered. But to me, I'm like, where is the, like, courtesy? Like, why is this okay if you do it, but then if anybody else does it, it's like, oh, no, you can't do that.
Because he has money. That's what, okay.
Not so. Even that. It's because he has, what is this, his seventh?
Yeah.
Super Bowl ring?
Yeah.
But it's the way, I get where you're saying.
Right.
But it's the way, it's the hierarchy money. That people put. If you were making people money, you were getting these Super Bowls, you know how many times he done traded off teams?
Fuck.
They see that first, then they're like, okay, because you're special, we're gonna brush it off.
And that's the problem. And that's why I feel like we have to be, like, as people that consume this, we have to be extra about it, because yes, we like to make, oh, well, Tom Brady, it's okay. Or, oh, he had money, it's okay, he could quarantine, he probably got the vaccine. Like, are you serious? Like, no, be so mad. I'm so triggered. It really does make me angry, because I'm just like, do you not understand how many, let's go check how many people died today. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that kind of thing. Like, we are so easy to disassociate that with the rest of the world just because you are up there doing whatever. No, fuck that. Fuck you, Tom Brady. I said it.
So, yeah, Tom Brady is, he's been irritating. I haven't liked Tom Brady for years, and I get it. Mm-hmm. He does win Super Bowls. The man is good at his job. Okay, mm-hmm. Like, can we not, this is his job. Mm-hmm. I don't get to be at my job and then go off and not have some repercussions mm-hmm. for my family, for my job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I come in and I test positive or something like that, I don't just, oh, I'm sick, guys, so it's me. No, my entire team has to go down too. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair for them.
Mm-hmm.
But because I work with him and I interact with him every day, I think about that when I go out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I go out and I decide to have a good time and don't have on any mask, I'm not just putting my life in danger. I'm putting my friends' lives in danger. I'm putting people that I don't like, mm-hmm. but I still want you to be able to eat. I still want you to be able to live your mm-hmm. life and survive. And I think that there's a good section of the world who does not care mm-hmm. about anyone outside of themselves or their immediate circle. Mm-hmm. It has to affect them. Mm-hmm. Now, if he came down with the Rona and them lungs ain't hitting like they used to and he doesn't have full capacity, now everybody's going to be boo-hooing Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't get as triggered anymore because at some point I have realized, oh, no. These people don't care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, I think once you realize that there's just a section of people who genuinely do not care about anybody else, then you can let go of some of that resentment and anger, because it's like, oh, no, I get it. You're just a piece of shit human. That's cool. I'm gonna let you be a piece of shit over there. I'm gonna move over here. And then we can be separate.
And I feel like that's kind of like the general thing that it comes down to. You either, like, accept it, move on, or you don't. And I think I'm one of those people that it's like, no, because to me that means that I could just give you a free pass for being shitty and no one else is going to say anything to you. Because generally people are going to be like, whatever, just do your own thing. No, I'm going to make sure you remember me and the fact that I yelled at you about it. Because, like, to me, that's going to make an impact in your life because nobody else around you is going to tell you.
Well, that's very true.
You know? But that's also, like, it's a character flaw in myself.
I mean, you have to call out these people. And, I mean, if you're going to have to be the quote-unquote bad person, then we're going to be the bad person.
Mm-hmm. So my second thing that I also get very triggered about is politics. And that being said, the most recent thing is the impeachment trial. Mind you, this motherfucker is impeached twice. So let's go ahead and lay that down. Whether or not he's going to get any type of like trouble for anything that he's going to do, I don't think it's going to happen. Because if you're watching it, then you better be motherfucking triggered. Because if you haven't seen that 14-minute video, go watch it.
So I've been 14 minutes. I've been going beyond the 14-minute video, to be honest. I've been rewatching like
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Oof.
So what was the 14-minute video consist of?
The 14-minute clip, a lot of what I've been seeing circulating is you can just see the video snippets that the prosecutors.
So the 14-minute video is a document. It's a documentation of that day. From when the rally was to each second of what's happening. So they cut through everything that happened at that time. So from him talking to them being at the rally, from them moving to Congress being in session, and then in between Congress talking is the clips of them trying to break into the Capitol.
Yeah,
like the documents.
Video.
Yeah. So it's that one.
So they're just showing that the impeachment? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The prosecutors have brought that video and several other videos to basically break down like how it was indeed incited by the former president.
Okay. I see what you guys are saying now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you do see like there's so much. So much. Even like I watched a breakdown of the video that he played at his rally and how, you know, certain images were used. And obviously when you're looking at a visual medium, things are put in there to trigger an emotion, to trigger, you know, sadness or anger and things like that. And he played a video that was like, oh, you know, Biden is secretly, and he had Hollywood, like the Hollywood sign in there. And basically, without explicitly being like, oh, there's this giant left-wing cabal that's, you know, here to destroy all Republicans.
I mean, he said it before.
I mean, multiple times.
He says it all the time.
But, you know, that day, he said some of those things, and then a video played to kind of reiterate that. And I think what was most impactful to me, and to see not one person on the Republican side be moved or be like, you were in there, I think is the craziest part to me. Like you were there. Like so, they were shouting, like some of them were shouting for your head.
So if they have, and this is like just an open question, if they have all this evidence, you know, they have all these proofs and stuff. What's holding them back?
Impeachment,
the politics of it all.
Yes. Impeachment is a political thing. So you have to have two-thirds of the Senate to vote in favor of impeachment. So
the Senate
means
that shows up to the voting
and they
process.
Have to be, they're the jurors. They have to be impartial jurors, which they're not, because we found out that some of the Republicans met with the defense team during. So that automatically, in a normal case, their asses would have gone caught and this wouldn't even be a thing because Trump would have been guilty.
Gotcha.
But because impeachment is a political thing, so he can't hold office. And the way the founding fathers wrote it were so that the people that were in the Senate would choose for the people that, no, this is bad. It hasn't come out that way. And that's a lot has to do with our society and how we view things now.
Yeah, because like, the video that one of the videos that I watched, they took videos from the actual people who went into the Capitol. And so she showed how everything that they were chanting, all of the motivations, it was secondhand from the former president. So
tweets.
He would be like, not just tweets, but like actual things that he verbally said that day. The tweets were just like, you know, cherry on top. But he would say things like, yeah, you know, we got to stop the steal. And the crowd would just go into an uproar.
He literally said, march down the street.
And the crowd would go into this uproar. And you would hear, so I think in the media, we hear it a lot from the podium. And then we'll get like the kind of crazy background noise of the crowds, but this time it was from the crowd's perspective. And I think that the showing of that was so important to to show that, you know, these people weren't necessarily chanting, you know, stop the steal and all that stuff. But when he said it, it was their trigger. And they triggered into, you know, stop the steal. And the chanting of, we're doing this for Trump. We were invited here. You know, when they actually got to Capitol Police and was on Capitol steps arguing with Capitol Police and DC police, talking about, we were invited here. We were invited here. Like, I do not see how common sense doesn't say, oh, yeah, yeah, no. They felt like they were invited here. Have this man not say, everybody come on down on the 6th. We're going to show them, you know, what we're really made of, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you don't fight for your country, then you won't have a country to fight for. This is our 1772. I mean, all of it. It came, like, the fish stinks from the head down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he's putting that out there. They're receiving it. And that's what got them to mobilize in the way that they mobilized. Don't get me wrong. He's been inspiring crazy things since he came off that damn escalator. But it's been a constant thing. And I feel like this was just a part of the boiling point. And I think another thing that's really been triggering to me is these politicians talking about freaking unity and forgiveness and all of these things. I cannot forgive person to person, regardless of politics. I can't forgive a person who has wronged me unless they admit their wrongdoing. Because at that point, what am I forgiving you for? You have no idea. If you don't say, actually, you know what? I was wrong when I stepped on your shoe. My bad. And then I can go, all right, bro, you acknowledge that you did something wrong. Let me forgive you. This, to me personally, this whole procedure is an acknowledgement of, yeah, he did something wrong. Acknowledge that. Don't ask me to forgive you if you can't acknowledge the fact that you've wronged me. And they are asking for forgiveness without doing the work. They're like, oh, no, we're cool, right? I just, you know, terrorized your house. I crapped on your porch, but we good. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to say that I did anything wrong, but we fine. We're friends. Let's work together. No.
I think.
Forget you and forget the horse that you rode in on. Like.
And I think that's kind of like, you're hitting it just how they're doing it, right? But what we have to realize is this is a political thing, right? And when they talk about unity, the Republicans aren't talking about unity with the Democrats. They're talking about unity within their own party. And right now, within their own party, the people that are ruling it are Trump people.
I know, so that's why they can't piss them off by actually impeaching the president.
So when we're not shocked about what's happening, obviously, because it kind of just plays into everything we already know was going to happen anyway. But when people are like, and specifically this is to my Republican friends, because when you cry for unity and when you cry to be heard and da-da-da-da-da and all this stuff, but you always are the first one to be like, oh, well, the Democrats need unity. Like, this is what happens. Like, you expect Democrats to come to the table. Well, that's because the Democrats are more than willing to admit, like, okay, yeah, okay, we fucked up. We're going to come to the table. Absolutely. We're going to work together. But that's not the Republican Party. The Republican Party isn't made to do that. They don't believe in diplomacy. They don't believe in bringing up a chair at the table. No, they want their own table, and they want you to hear what they got to say, and they want you to accept that's how it's going to be.
With a gun on the table.
And with force. And so when we talk about unity, when we talk about all this stuff, no, fuck your unity. That's how I feel about
it. And that's genuinely where I'm at. I'm at the fuck your unity. I genuinely don't care about, and it's unfortunate because I genuinely don't know how long as a country, just individuals, not political parties, but as a country, we could be at each other's throats. I don't know how long that's going to be. I think
500 years.
No, but I genuinely think, like, our generation is not, we're not that, oh, middle of the road. In general, we're not those people. We're not middle of the road. Oh, we can compromise, because we've watched what compromising can do. We watched it in our parents' time, of compromising on wars, of compromising on bailing out Wall Street, and what that has done to our job market, our economic market. Like, we've watched the compromising thing. Really?
Yeah, because I think we are more than willing to compromise, but I think there needs to be accountability, which is why that's when we can compromise. But I think we are willing to get there. But if the other side isn't, then we don't.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How long can we be at a place where nobody's willing to budge?
It's always been this way. The only thing that makes us so angry now is that we can see it because it's on our face all the time with our phones.
And that's
always been this way.
And that's cool. But I think a lot of things can be done for an extended period of time in the shadows. But once it does get light, it's one of those things where
it should change.
It should. It's either going to change because I don't think that where we're at in the political process, I don't think it's sustainable. I genuinely
don't.
It's
not. And honestly, I'm surprised it's sustained now. They say, was it 250 years before civilization falls? And that's coming up close for us.
Exactly. So, that's what I'm saying. I don't see how this fight and it being so blatant and so in your face. Like, if you sneak this in me, I can kind of explain it away. You know what I mean? But if you come in my face and call me names and do all these things, okay, well, my man's now you're looking for a fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's where we're at. We're at that place where it is in our face of being like, I don't care about your opinions. I don't care that y'all are dying. Figure it out. I don't care.
I think that's where we're at. And I think a lot of people just don't care about politics. And that's where we're at. Because me and you can get angry about it. And that's because we want to get involved in it. But a lot of people don't care. They just turn it off. And that's where we're at as a country. So well, anyway.
If you keep doing that, I don't know where this country gonna be. I know I won't be here, but y'all can figure it out.
True.
That's on the realness. I won't be here, but I really pray y'all figure it out.
Hmm. Sorry, I'm going to say one more thing. And politics. I'm not going to go on a whole big thing about it. I say if you get triggered by what you see on TV and what you hear, you better fucking use that shit. And I'm talking about, like, you better get active.
All right. So our sponsor today, guys, is Blue Herbal Goddess off of Fort Campbell Boulevard. It's 1573 Fort Campbell Boulevard. She is like a guru to me. I absolutely love her. Her name's Nicole. Get anything that you need spiritually. Crystals. Healing is the main word. The most important word is healing. So go visit her. She's open 10 to 5 p.m. And again, it's Blue Herbal Goddess on 1573 Fort Campbell Boulevard. Thank you.
But I do have a question for you guys that we have gotten in. So answer.
Okay.
Take your best ability. It says, is being called someone's trigger means that I am to blame or the reason for someone else's behavior?
Say that again.
Is being called someone's trigger mean that I am to blame or the reason for someone else's behavior?
You are the reason first.
You're the reason for the how they act, I believe.
Negative.
You are the reason, just the reason negative. That they're triggered.
Negative on that.
Okay.
To me, personally.
Okay.
I have people that I know that we share a bloodline, but around those people, I am fucking triggered. Mm. I realize that, right? So it's not their fault that I'm triggered by them. There's nothing that they have. Well, that's not true, but it's taking responsibility for your own triggers.
Exactly.
I think it's
most definitely. I can agree.
If I'm in a conversation with a person and that person is continuously triggering, okay, you're that person. You have those opinions, those ideals. That's fine. We can have a civilized conversation. But if nobody's moving, that's cool. I'm going to move around you. I don't think that anyone is responsible for how I react to them. Mm-hmm. That's unless you're doing something purposefully or if you're doing something mm-hmm. to hurt me and I say, hey, you might not know that moving too fast or you calling me a certain name might trigger me. So I'm going to let you know that. If I let you know and you continue to do it, mm-hmm. then it's time for me and you, friends, family, relationship, whatever, we done. Because at that point, you don't take into consideration that I let you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you walk into a room and a person's like, I'm triggered and I'm out. Yeah. Okay, well, you handle that, boo. Mm-hmm.
It definitely brings us to the mindfulness and psychology part of this topic, being triggered, because being triggered just shows something within you that it needs to be healed. So if you see like someone just doing their own damn thing and you are so fucking angry at that person, there's something that you have done, there's something that you need to deal with within yourself. It just needs to be a self-reflection. You don't have to go and attack that person like racist people do. Like, you know, you see people overtly, angrily attacking another person. I'm gonna attack Tom Brady. No, I'm just
kidding. Triggering him. And,
but overly, angrily attacking someone for just being who they are, there's a problem within you. And it's just that self-reflection. So, yeah, it's definitely not, to answer that question, it's definitely not them. It's you.
Yeah.
I think.
You have to take accountability for that.
You disagree. The squint. The squint.
Right. I think.
Go ahead. No.
No, you go first.
I don't know. For me, for this question, it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost. Because I thought about it as a person who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That the other, well, I guess in that other situation, me. I know I can manipulate this person.
Mm.
I kind of thought about it as then, like, manipulate them to where I can make them feel this way, act this way, da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And say something does happen to us where we do break up or whatever relationship we're in, whether it's friendship or in a relationship. They can go out somewhere, something that happens from either another person or something that just in general happens. They're triggered by it. It reminds them of me,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. So I feel like I can be someone's trigger.
Yeah.
There's also a situation where I feel like they may not know that they're that person's trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Their actions. They may think it's a normal kind of action, or, you know, they're just being them.
I want to give an example. Just you being you,
mm-hmm.
Renisha.
Mm-hmm.
You are a take charge person. And someone, you say what you mean, you do what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are triggered by you have issues doing what you do. You know what I mean?
Elaborate.
And I feel like, I think that works sometimes.
But when Elaborate. People are like, oh my God, you're so aggressive. Like, they feel intimidated by you. They feel triggered by you because you are just being you.
I get that because I've had people come up to me and be like, they've been afraid to talk to me because of like, the way I've spoke, alpha. and some people may think I am an alpha. I didn't think I was alpha. I just, like I said, I'm thinking it's just me being me.
Exactly.
But I understand where you're coming from now that you put it in like real world perspective. Because again, I've had people come up to me be like, "You didn't know at first, scary to talk to," and I'm like, "How?
Exactly.
How?
It's just me.
I am a sensitive girl who just, you know, likes to vibe. You know."
I think I agree partially with you guys, but I think there's another scenario where it's like, I can't blame anybody else for the feelings that I have, obviously, because I can't control anybody else's feelings but the ones that I have. But I think it's one of those things where, like, at work, you can get triggered because, you know, if somebody knows that you don't like being talked to a certain way, or they know that, well, obviously, they would have to know, right?
So you would have to say it.
You would have to say it or hint at it or something, right? So, because people aren't stupid. They would know. They would notice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the issue comes, like, if I get, like, let's say, okay, for the scenario like you did with Renisha, she's a very aggressive person. And not aggressive in a mean way. You were just an alpha male woman. Like, not alpha. Alpha female, right?
I need to reevaluate myself.
No.
You're not aggressive. No. I wouldn't even say fucking aggressive at all. But continue.
I would, because, like, you're kind of the person where you are a target. There's a target that you want to complete, and you're going to get there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I would consider her a type A personality. That's just a go-getter alpha. Mindset. Alpha, but not aggressive.
I don't think aggressive is mean. Like, to me, aggressive isn't, like... I can see aggressive
as the negative aggressive.
Yeah.
It's the positive. Like, it's go-getter.
But the people that are triggered by you are using aggressive in a bad way.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, side note. Cool. But what I'm saying is, like, if that person has an issue with her because of that, that's something they have to reflect on. A lot of people have triggers because of PTSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. So I think when it's so easy to blame the other person for their own things and stuff, but we do also have to realize that triggers aren't just because, oh, my self-reflection tells me that I need to work on this, but also mm-hmm. because my experiences have shown me mm-hmm. that this, and it triggers that, like, you know, either I'm going to run or I'm going to get defensive or whatever, you know, yeah. so mm-hmm. it's that flight or fight kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to keep that in mind as well. Now, should we change our behaviors based on somebody that has something like that? It depends on what it is in the situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think you're definitely right on that.
Yeah. Sorry, it takes me a while to get my point.
No. Because that's what we need it.
Processing.
Your brain moved faster than what your mouth can.
My mouth was. And oh, my God.
First and foremost, we appreciate this question because it really got us, like, triggered. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you so much for it. It's anonymous, so I really wish you can put your name. If you want to put your name or want us to say your name, you can just put your first name.
Or you want to make a fake name. We like those.
Oh, yeah.
Well, PG, please, because I don't want to be like Big Daddy nothing.
Well, I'm going to call this person Tanya. Tanya, wherever you are. You are not unless this person has come and talked to you specifically and been like, hey, this is triggering to me when you do A, B, and C, mm-hmm. and you continue to do it, then that, you know, you might just be inconsiderate, my love.
Yeah.
But if you have no idea and you're just being yourself and you somebody trigger, someone other than you needs to take some self-accountability and deal with
it.
If you
know that your actions aren't being inconsiderate to that person, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think what we're talking all about, like behaviors and stuff, we have to realize, like, triggers, it's not just behavioral. It could be location. It could mm-hmm. be smell. It could be what you see. It could be, like, somebody kicking me underneath the table.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
It could be a song that's played on the radio.
I just moved my feet. I was like, oh, my God. I
just triggered. Can you stop kicking my legs, please?
That's an actual trigger. Don't let people kick you.
But, like, I think that's important to realize because dealing with those, like, knowing your triggers, I think is the hardest thing, because a lot of times we don't correlate, like, immediately angry or annoyed as a trigger. We just think, mm-hmm. oh, that person's a bitch, or oh, this place fucking sucks, you know. So it's like, I'm sorry, did I cuss so much?
All of you,
that was a trigger.
Yeah.
Trigger.
I did.
I straight up, make sure we put this as
explicit.
Oh, it's always explicit. Okay. It's fine. But yes. So that was my little two cents about also be aware of your surroundings that can trigger things. And it's okay to cry, I guess.
If you didn't know, it's okay to cry.
I
feel like as a kid, I needed someone to say that. Because like all grown up, it was the opposite.
Right.
Stop crying.
You don't cry.
Exactly.
No, that's what dad used to get.
trigger. Daddy issues. Daddy. Sorry. No, for me, that would be a whole episode, but we don't have time.
I think we can all do an episode on daddy issues.
Oh, honestly, yeah. We're going to.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. And if anybody else has a example or a trigger question as well, let us know in our DMs, you know, in our social media account. Melanin Speaking Podcast. We definitely want to hear it because that question got us talking about whether or not you can be someone's trigger. So thank you so much, friends, for listening to our podcast, Melanin Speaking Trigger. I hope anytime someone says melanin or speaking or just melanin speaking, hope it triggers you too. I hope it triggers you too. Listening to us. Yeah. So this is episode 4. We would love to hear from you guys. And don't forget to follow our page on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you have a question or just want to talk to us, email us at melaninspeaking4@gmail.com.
Yes. And also make sure to fill out that survey. If you have a topic idea, check our social media that is on there right now. It could be anything, like, I don't know, why is the sky blue? Don't do that. But, you know, something
don't
like
that. Don't
make
me explain science, guys.
Yes, so make sure to check out our social media accounts to get that form.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Love.